Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender.
Welcome back. It's 17 till the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am a small business advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one from my new book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. We're celebrating our 17th anniversary of the Small Business Advocate broadcast, and one of the people we're doing that with is someone who's been with us now for a long time, Cam Fine, the president and CEO of Independent Community Bankers of America, ICBA.org. And ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to check out their website. It's not your grandfather's community bank website. It's new and spiffy and cool. And the community bankers are with it these days, aren't you, Cam?
Well, yes, we are. We're up on all the fancy stuff.
You know, I was with your young leaders in Memphis a couple of months ago.
Yes, I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate being invited to go over and talk to them. I was so excited, Cam, to see the young, fresh, bright faces of these bankers. It really made me happy to see young people, and I say young, I'm talking, you know, 20s, 30s, and 40s. For me, 40s are still young.
Yeah,
and,
me too.
And seeing those young faces being excited about being in the banking industry. It really made me happy to see that. So congratulations to your industry on bringing people in like that, being able to acquire these kind of smart people and keeping them interested in your industry.
Well, thank you, Jim. There is some terrific, terrific talent out there in the community bank industry, some really bright, with it, young professionals and young people, and they do a heck of a job. I'm very optimistic about the future of community banking.
I am now more than I was before that. I went over there. I mean, I've been worried about it, Cam. As you know, I worry about you guys.
I worry about it, too.
Because community banks are important to Main Street folks, as you have heard me say 1,000 times. And so I'm glad to see these young people. And I'll tell you what else I saw. I heard them talking about their small business customers, and they were saying all the right things. I was so happy to see how grounded and how much they understood what the relationship that's necessary, and which brings us back to Congress, folks.
Yes,
as you know, the financial crash of a collapse of 2008 and then following resulted in a bunch of new regulations that was focused on addressing the people who caused the problem, which weren't community banks, but yet community banks have become collateral damage in this, Cam. And you and I have talked about this on the show before, and so there are still bills that are before the 113th Congress. Can those be taken up again if they don't get done in the and these are bills that will help independent community bankers serve small businesses. Cam, if they don't get taken up in the 113th, will they accrue to the 114th Congress?
Yes, I expect that nearly every one of the bills that would provide regulatory relief for the community banks and the small businesses will get reintroduced in the...
Is that what has to happen? I mean, if the House has already passed it, the Senate didn't take it up, do you have to start over?
Yes.
Oh, man.
It's a brand new Congress.
Man.
So we have to start all over.
No, none of the work none of the work that was done accrues.
You have to reintroduce the bills. You have to start again.
And vote again.
And you have to vote again. Yeah. But on the other hand, since they've already held hearings, and because several of these bills passed the House, it'll be a quicker process than 114.
And you have
to start over.
And folks, I have to tell you, and you probably won't be surprised to hear what I'm about to say or to hear that I'm saying it. With a Republican Senate, controlled Senate, Republican controlled House, these bills that make sense for small businesses, for Main Street, and for community banks, these bills will pass a Republican Congress, won't they, Cam?
I think so. I think let me put it this way. I'm cautiously optimistic that a good number of regulatory relief bills will pass the 114th Congress. I know that they'll be introduced. I know that they'll have some bipartisan support, And with a more receptive leadership in the Senate, I think we can get some things done.
Well, let me give you one quick example, folks. I alluded to it a minute ago. If you have a mortgage that's being held by a community bank that's under $250,000, and you've had that mortgage for 7 or 8 years, there's a regulation that's trying to make the community bank, I guess maybe in the owner, the borrower, Cam, reappraise that property to make sure it's still within the guidelines of the loan regulations.
Correct. Right? The appraisal regulations have just gone crazy in the last.
Who's got to pay for that appraisal?
5 to 6 years. Well, eventually the customer is going to have to pay for the appraisal. So, but it jacks up the price of a mortgage all along the line. It makes it more expensive for the banker. It makes it more expensive for the borrower. And it doesn't do anybody any good.
And this is unheard of, once a mortgage is in place, to have to go back and re-justify it.
Yeah, you know, yes. And that's just one of several rules of that type. And it's making it more and more difficult. They put more and more roadblocks between the banker and the customer, whether it's small business or an individual, and it's interfering with the business of commerce and small business and banking.
And the economy.
And that's what I was going to say, Jim, and that's one of the big reasons why the economy can't get off the ground.
That's exactly right. There are all kinds of little bitty stumbling blocks, folks. Like, you know, never mind, it's not, all of them aren't big holes in the road, big sinkholes. Many of them are just little roadblocks that makes the economy slow down to 20 miles an hour when we need it to go 70.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and so, folks, these are not controversial things. These are common sense things, and we've got to figure out how to get it done, get it through Congress. So anything you can do, when you talk to your member of Congress, tell them that you support these bills being through to help community banks, help Main Street businesses, and individuals, too. Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened in the history of the marketplace. This is Jim Blassingame, and I want to tell you about an emerging new age, the age of the customer. For 10,000 years, businesses operated with age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But that age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that convey control from you to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're using age of the seller practices when customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make this transition from old practices to the ones that will help you meet those new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. That's ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blassingame, and I wrote this book for you. Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
If you are a CEO, you know success is a matter of getting the right players in the right roles with the right goals. Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. Every coach is looking for the right combination to take their team to the next level. And now you can find the right solution for your business from Insperity. More than 100,000 companies are using Insperity High Performance HR and Business Solutions. From recruiting, employment screening, and retirement services to time and attendance, organizational planning, as well as performance and expense management. Or to move your company ahead as far and as fast as possible, ask about our workforce optimization solution. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your business performance advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Welcome back, 7 till the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with one of my favorite people, Cam Fine. Cam is President and CEO of Independent Community Bankers of America, ICBA.org. What do you got, 7,000 community bankers, community banks in America now, Cam?
Yes. We represent 6,500 community banks. We refer to our banks as Main Street banks or sometimes mom-and-pop banks, but they're your friendly bank that serves your local area. They have all different kinds of names, but I can tell you they care about small business. That's where they live. That's who they support.
There are 600 counties. I saw a report, Cam, a year or so ago, as I remember, 600 counties in the United States where the only bank represented is a community bank.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct.
That's a huge swath. Folks, that's the equivalent of 10 states.
Correct. There are huge regions in this country where the only financial provider is a community bank.
Yeah, and so that's just one of the reasons why we have to keep community banks safe and healthy. And whatever is good for community banks is good for small businesses, as I say, Cam. And whatever is good for small business, in my opinion, Cam, is good for the world. Now, what can we do? What can you say to us to help us work, help a small business owner build a relationship with community banks, help them at the local level? You know, we got you up there going best two falls out of three on this lobbying stuff. What can we do out here on Main Street to get along better and to work better together?
They work pretty well together now, but I think every small business owner should get to know their local banker, work together on civic projects, on their own business. That banker has money to lend. They want to help. Remember, there's a synergy between the small business owner and the banker, because in essence, a community bank is a small business too.
That's right.
And so
a local small business.
Yes, they are a local small business. And so go local. You know, community banks I'll give you a good example. On Wednesday, December 17th, ICBA is going to kick off our Go Local Wednesdays, where we are going to encourage all citizens to shop locally at locally owned and operated businesses and restaurants and support small business owners and locally based entrepreneurs.
When is this going to start?
On December 17th. We're going to kick it off on December 17th.
And you're going to do that every month?
Local Wednesdays. Local Wednesdays. And we're going to encourage all citizens to purchase, dine, and spend in their local community. And we want to really rev it up during the holidays to help these small businesses have a very good holiday season. So we're all about the vital importance of America's small businesses.
Well, I believe it, and folks. So, one of the things that I've done over the years has helped me with my community bankers is I invite them to my business. Bankers, ladies and gentlemen, bankers love road trips, don't they, Cam?
Yes, they do. They love to visit their businesses.
And I invite them in, walk them around, and introduce them to your employees, and then bring in some food and show them your proposal on what you're trying to do with your business, with your real estate, what your growth plans are, and let them help you with this. This is what I just described, Cam, as you well know, is in terms of the United States of America, has been going on for 200 plus years.
Yes, yes. In fact, community banks were the first type of banking institutions in the United States. They date back all the way to 1790s.
And one of the things that I like to say about community banks, Cam, is that you guys give bankers, you guys give small business owners credit for their character.
Yes, we do.
And when
yes,
big banks, do. When big banks use credit scoring to decide whether you get a loan or not, but let the computer decide, community banks don't do that. I've asked community bankers if there's 100 in the room, I've asked them how many of them use credit scoring. Maybe four or five hands would come up, and I'd say, well, let me ask you, do you use that to make the decision? And not, every one of them said no.
Yeah, absolutely. We go on a person's character and standing, and are they good people or not?
Yeah.
And if they're good people and have good character, we make the loan.
Yeah, that's exactly right, folks. I stand before you as an example of that very example that Cam gave. Hey, Cam, keep up the good work. We're proud of what you guys are doing, and come back soon.
We will. Thank you so much.
Cam Fine, ladies and gentlemen, the president and CEO of Independent Community Bankers of America, ICBA.org. He'll be back another day. I'll be back after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Welcome to the Small Business Advocate Show with your host, Jim Blasingame. The Small Business Advocate Show is presented by Insperity, dedicated to helping businesses run better, grow faster, and make more money. And now, conducting over 1,000 live interviews each year, the Iron Man of Radio.
I feel ready to go another 9 innings.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Hello, America, and good day to our friends around the world. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you, especially when we're celebrating our milestones, 17th anniversary of the Small Business Advocate broadcast, 15th anniversary of our e-zine, the Small Business Advocate newsletter. Thank you for letting us be just a little bit extra obnoxious this week, celebrating these milestones, encouraging you to celebrate your own milestones and to tell your customers about it. You don't have to be quite as obnoxious as I am. I'm sure you wouldn't want to do that anyway. But just let your customers know that you've achieved another milestone, whatever it might be. It doesn't have to be an anniversary of your business. It could be a lot of different things. It could be celebrating an employee's. If one of your employees reached a big 20-year or 10-year or whatever milestone, celebrate them. Get some excitement going. Get some energy going in your business. Let customers know. Customers like hearing this, folks. Whenever I made any kind of an accomplishment over the years with my customers and they knew about it, they liked it because they took it as part of their, they felt like it was part of their success. Don't underestimate that, folks. That's a little known fact. A lot of people don't realize. Customers like it when you are successful. Let me tell you about what we got coming at you straight ahead this hour. Ed Yorden. How many people do you know are in the Computer Hall of Fame? Bill Gates is there. Not too many, though, are, but our Ed Yorden is. And he's a longtime member, original founding member of our Brain Trust. He's the author of a number of books, including Outsource, Competing in the Global Productivity Race, and a number of other books. He's one of the most important. He's one of the gurus, folks. He's a Jedi master in the technology world, and he's our Jedi master, too. He'll be here to talk to us about some things. And also, in the second half of the hour, Don Cooper is going to talk to us about becoming better selling. Stay with us, Don after.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened before in the history of the marketplace. Hi, this is Jim Blasingame, and I want to tell you about a new age that's emerging right now, the age of the customer. Until recently, you've run your business with 10,000-year-old age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But the original age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that are conveying control from your business to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're going to market with age of the seller practices when your customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make the transition from old practices to new ones that will allow you to meet these new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com, that's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
If you're a business owner, who can you trust to stand shoulder to shoulder with to help your company prosper?
Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. I have seen firsthand the role trust plays in team performance. And now you can have your own business performance advisor to help your company reach your goals. For more than 25 years, Insperity has helped thousands of America's best businesses succeed by putting high-performance HR and business solutions to work. Your Insperity Business Performance Advisor starts with the specific needs of your company and tailors a customized solution to unleash your business potential. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your Insperity Business Performance Advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. And I'm Jim Blassingame, and I'm glad you're here. Ed Yordan's here, too, ladies and gentlemen. Ed is an original founding member of our Brain Trust. In fact, as you know, we're celebrating our 17th anniversary of our broadcast. And in January, we'll celebrate his 17th anniversary with us. He's already had his 16th anniversary. He's in the Computer Hall of Fame. He's the author of I don't know how many books, something under 100 books that have sold something under a billion copies across the galaxy. He's a Jedi Master, ladies and gentlemen. I consider him to be that in the world of technology, all the different kinds of technology. And he's our good friend, Ed Yordan. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here.
It's good to have you here. Hey, Ed, one of the things I want to talk about in your that you have on your mind today, I want to talk about the long-term impact of technology on society. Now, I don't think you know this, and my audience doesn't know much about it, but I'm writing a book about this.
Oh, are you? Fantastic.
Yes. And I'm writing a book about technology as if humanity matters.
I remember you mentioned that to me once before.
I forgot about that. Yeah, I guess I probably did. And you've been thinking a lot about that too. And can you share some of your ideas? You know, my point of view, Ed, is technology is designed for humans, for the human form factor and for what humans want and need. And humans, the human form factor, is an immediate advocate for itself, very aggressive, immediate advocate for itself. But humanity is ultimately where a lot of this stuff, gets the residual of a lot of this stuff over generations. It doesn't advocate for itself. It's a very passive advocate. And that's the position I'm taking as we embrace technology as humans, should we consider what it means to humanity? What do you think?
I really think we should, and I think any parent or grandparent sees this, because you watch the way your children or grandchildren react to technology and realize how different it is, what different assumptions they have, or mostly what assumptions they don't have, and that sometimes enables them to do things that they've never imagined, and other times helps them avoid all kinds of mistakes or bad behaviors that, you know, that we did. But all of this is taking place in a society that, as you say, tends to be very short-term, you know, not only in terms of how we all react as human beings, you know, to short-term gratification, but also the Wall Street pressure and, you know, the pressure to get new products out every year and so on. And that's what we're surrounded by, but if you look at it over a long period, I've been in the computer field for 50 years now, you do begin to realize this secondary issue that you mentioned, that humanity has a very long horizon. So, you know, when you look at things, for example, like Siri, you know, Cortana, or
remind some of the people what Siri is.
Siri is the helper tool on your iPhone.
Right.
Microsoft has one. Google has one.
Yeah.
You know, and they're still imperfect and rough and you know, kind of frustrating and primitive, but if you imagine how this will continue slowly and incrementally improving, so that 10 years from now, our kids and grandchildren have got really a personal assistant beyond anything Imagine now.
It's a form of artificial intelligence, isn't it?
It is, and it grows little by little by little. I mean, every year or so, and I start asking Siri, you know, the assistant on my iPhone, some questions that I would never have dreamed of asking a year ago. I'm just amazed by the sophistication of its answers.
Information. And so that's helping you immediately as a human, but over writ large, over a population, over a society, when everybody is doing that, look at the implications as all that behavior bumps up against each other. Look at the behavior for society. And when I talk about these things, Ed, I'm not being a Luddite. When you're talking about them, you're not being a Luddite. You're, of all people, are not a Luddite. What we're saying is, folks, just because we can doesn't mean we should. That's what I think. What do you think, Ed?
I certainly agree, and I think that people in my circle, you know, the technology elite people, really have no way of knowing what will or will not be appropriate or useful or desirable.
Have you read the article, the Elon Musk piece, where he's Elon Musk is, folks, as you know, is the you probably met him, Eddie, maybe a good friend of yours, but he's the guy who was at eBay. He founded eBay, and then now he's doing the electric car. What's the word?
The Tesla car.
The Tesla. Yeah. I mean, he's a very sharp guy, and he's saying that he's concerned about the future of artificial intelligence. He's worried. He's afraid it could become dangerous. Artificial intelligence.
He is, and there have been some very thoughtful rebuttals of that remark, indicating that AI is centuries away from doing dangerous things and you know, taking control of the human race and so forth.
But that's the horizon that humanity has.
That's true. That's true. Hopefully we're still going to be around as a species 100 years from
right.
now. But I think in the meantime, we're going to have all of these very modest, humble AI capabilities that dramatically enrich not just the lives of the technology elite, mm-hmm. but, you know, the entire planet, because the technology is getting affordable. You know, I sent you that one link a day or so ago indicating that by the end of this decade, 90% of the world population
yes.
over the age of 6
yep.
will have a smartphone.
I reported some of that in my new book.
And
most of these people have never turned on a computer.
That's right. They've never had a computer. They've never seen one.
They never had it. They still don't have a microwave or a car or a refrigerator.
Right. But they are quickly getting their hands on mobile phones.
Mm-hmm.
And those have now got the same. They've got actually more like 1,000 or a million times more capability than the computers that I used when I
That's
first
right.
started working.
No question. No question about it. Yeah. So folks, you know, one quick thing that we can see very quickly is the impact that social media and technology has had on the interpersonal skills of young people. That's been a very quick turnaround, hasn't it?
It has been very, very quick. I mean, you see that when you go out on the street of any crowded city like New York where
mm-hmm.
I live, that everybody is interacting with social media.
But not with the person standing next to them.
No, with people all over the world.
Yeah.
And sometimes in ways that our generation might consider completely inappropriate.
Right, that's right.
You know, the new generation has changed their behavior.
That's right. Hold on to that thought, Ed. We're going to take a quick break. Yordan.com, YOURDON.com is his website, and all the books are there. Quick break, 20 after. Stay with us.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
If you run a business, you know your financial results are directly linked to the performance of your people. Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. Every team wants to operate at peak performance, and now you can with the proven workforce optimization solution from Insperity. This powerful combination of HR and business solutions is the most comprehensive business performance offering in the marketplace, delivering administrative relief, better benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity. And since your business is like no other, this solution is customized to fit your unique company needs. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your Insperity business performance advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened in the history of the marketplace. This is Jim Blassingame, and I want to tell you about an emerging new age, the age of the customer. For 10,000 years, businesses operated with age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But that age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that convey control from you to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem. But it's probably that you're using age of the seller practices when customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make this transition from old practices to the ones that will help you meet those new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. That's ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blassingame, and I wrote this book for you. Welcome back. 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. And we're having a great visit with our good friend Ed Yordan. Ed is an original founding member of our Brain Trust. He was with us within a couple of months of our broadcast back in 97, our first one. The next January, he was very early in the month. He became a member of our Brain Trust. Ed, thanks again for being here, for all the great years of support. For all the things that we do here.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be back.
Ed is, by the way, folks, a member of the Computer Hall of Fame. He's written, how many books have you written, Ed?
28 at this point.
28. So when I said under 30, I was pretty close. Outsource, Competing in the Global Productivity Race. There's one book. Is that the new one, Ed?
The newest one I've written is a book on CIOs, Chief Information Officers.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, interviews with a bunch of those topics.
I still don't have that book. And then the other one on Death March, the Death March topic.
What's
that?
That's right.
Tell us about that one.
Well, that's a book I first wrote in the late 90s because people at the time thought that it was a kind of an exceptional or accidental phenomenon. A death march is there's a military connotation, obviously, but in industry, it means a project whose deadline and budget and so on is so outrageous and so aggressive that the only possible way of succeeding is to persuade all of the engineers or people working on the project to sacrifice their personal life, work 18 hours a day, 7 days a week until they either finish or collapse from exhaustion. And it's still going on today, and probably will.
I've worked on death march projects.
Well, it's not unique to the computer industry. That is an interesting point. I see it all the time in the legal profession.
I've worked nights all night long without sleep, and then got on a plane, flew on the other side of the country to take a project. I mean, you know, never right out of the work into the travel.
Yep. Saw it at NASA. You know, like I say, it's all over the place, and it's going to continue on.
What was the purpose of writing a book about it? In fact, you've updated the book, haven't you?
I've done a second edition, and now I'm starting to work on a third edition.
Why is this such a big deal?
Well, it's a big deal because in many cases the consequences of failure are bankruptcy or,
right,
you know, other dire things. And at the same time, it's often a deliberate, conscious choice that's made by senior executives. Other times it's an accident or a disaster. But you can make some smart decisions about how to approach such projects so that you have some chance of success.
But it's kind of now, swinging. But a death march philosophy or a death march acceptability to the leader can be a swing for the fence kind of thing, can it?
It is a swing for the fence, and there are some people who probably ought not to even get started. They look
right
at the situation and say, it's too much of a sacrifice. I'd like to see my kids growing up. Thanks, but no thanks. And other people say, yeah, because if we succeed, that's the Silicon Valley kind of mystique,
right,
you know.
Well, if sometimes when you swing for the fence, it goes over the fence.
And some people are better at that than others. You know, Steve Jobs, was a genius at succeeding with that kind of approach. And there were some consequences in his own personal life and the personal lives of a lot of other Apple people. But they've made that choice, and, I think most of the rest of us have benefited from it in most cases. So it's not going to go away. And for the people who get confronted with that choice, as a lot of people in Silicon Valley and others do, I think there are some things to keep in mind that improve your odds of success, and that's what I wrote about.
Think in Silicon Valley it's something that some people think if you haven't done a death march, it isn't really valuable?
I do. I think it's got that kind of mystique. It's also true in a lot of computer consulting firms.
Like suffering for your art, right?
That's right, yeah. It's a badge of honor.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't done this, you're not...
You haven't paid your dues.
Right.
Yeah. Well, in small businesses, it's not so much. We don't feel that way, but this happens. And I've created death march projects. I've started them, and some of them I've worked. I was the only one on the death march, Ed. and sometimes I had team members. Sometimes I was part of a team. I'm the kind of person that would be attracted to something like that. I have been attracted to them. But one of the things I've learned, and this is what I try to impart to my audience, Ed, is that some things are not meant to be.
That's right.
And that's what maturity helps you understand, right?
That's right. And also, some people are not meant to participate in death march projects, and better you should make that choice at the beginning than to ruin your personal life and then decide that you're just not going to survive.
Right.
So I think you have to be honest both for yourself and also for the other people that you're trying to draw into this kind of crazy effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's a big thing for the leader as well as for the supporters. And it's not for everybody. And it does take a certain personality to really be there is an attraction to it, isn't there? It's seductive.
There's definitely an attractiveness in a lot of different fields. Again, this is not unique to computers, although I certainly thought so when I first started writing.
But
it's pretty widespread.
Yourdon, Ed Yourdon. And we put a .com on the end of Yourdon, and you'll find his website. He's going to come back and spend another segment with us. We got more to talk about. I told you we'd get smarter when Ed joined us. Stay with us.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened before in the history of the marketplace. Hi, this is Jim Blasingame, and I want to tell you about a new age that's emerging right now, the age of the customer. Until recently, you've run your business with 10,000-year-old age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But the original age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that are conveying control from your business to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're going to market with age of the seller practices when your customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make the transition from old practices to new ones that will allow you to meet these new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame. Thanks for listening.
If you are a CEO, you know success is a matter of getting the right players in the right roles with the right goals. Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. Every coach is looking for the right combination to take their team to the next level. And now you can find the right solution for your business from Insperity. More than 100,000 companies are using Insperity High Performance HR and Business Solutions. From recruiting, employment screening, and retirement services to time and attendance, organizational planning, as well as performance and expense management. Or to move your company ahead as far and as fast as possible, ask about our workforce optimization solution. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your business performance advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com, that's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you. Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened in the history of the marketplace. This is Jim Blasingame, and I want to tell you about an emerging new age, the age of the customer. For 10,000 years, businesses operated with age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But that age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that convey control from you to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem. But it's probably that you're using age of the seller practices when customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make this transition from old practices to the ones that will help you meet those new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. That's ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame, and I wrote this book for you. Oh, I bet.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. Uh-huh. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Well, I'm bad, 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 bad. Amazing why.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. Ed Jordan is here too, ladies and gentlemen. Ed's a longtime original founding member of our Brain Trust. He is he's one of the top computer software experts on the planet, and he's one of the things he does. By the way, 28 books on technology and computers. He's in the Computer Hall of Fame. Go to Jordan, YOURDON.com and check out his website. Ed, thanks again for being here. One of the things you do a lot is you're an expert witness in a number of different venues. Tell the audience about some of the venues and some of the stories that would apply to us.
An expert witness is somebody who is usually hired by lawyers to help explain some aspect of a dispute between parties, in this case the computers.
Right.
I started off as an expert witness on huge computer projects that had crashed and delivered unacceptable results. The familiar example that you would know is the Obamacare website.
Right.
But now...
You were an expert witness on the Obamacare website?
No. Oh. Well, that's an example.
Like that,
that's
okay.
Example
well, if you ever are, we have to know about this, Ed, so be sure to...
Well, the frustrating thing is that I wouldn't be able to tell you, because normally you have to sign all kinds
gag
of
orders.
Agreements. But anyway, the thing that affects everybody today is the intellectual property lawsuit.
Right.
Because everything you buy or use or run into in society has got a computer in it and enormous amounts of software that is protected to some extent by patents that may have been issued 10 years ago. So now there are all these patent infringement lawsuits, like Apple versus Samsung, for example, on the smartphones have got dozens,
right,
if not hundreds of patents,
right,
and millions of lines of code. So I get called in on those things to
What will you be helping to decide in those cases?
Well, the question is sometimes whether the original patent was even valid. I just had Siri go off for some reason.
Sorry.
Siri overheard what I was saying.
We were just talking about that the other day. Siri's taking over.
Right.
Yeah.
So the question is whether the original patent was valid, and then the immediate question usually is whether some competitor infringed upon your patent and tried to basically steal your ideas,
right,
in a copycat invention of some kind. And those are worth billions of dollars, those,
right,
lawsuits, because, you know, they get embedded in every car that,
mm-hmm,
you drive or a smartphone that you buy. Or
an automobile company could buy a component for a car from XYZ company and do it in good faith, thinking they had what they needed, and come to find out that XYZ company had infringed on a patent of another company in building their device, and it put the car company in jeopardy.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, a typical car these days has got about 300 computers.
Yeah.
So your scenario is absolutely correct.
And so your job would be to decide if they did infringe, or to testify whether you thought they did infringe or didn't infringe.
That's right. Usually, I'm hired by the lawyers on one side or the other side. So
do you specialize in one side or the other?
No.
Okay.
Partly because these cases are rarely ever black and white.
Right.
There's a lot of gray.
When you go in, you don't know who the good guys are, do you? Do you ever get into the case and during the case say, you know, guys, you've hired me to prove a certain thing, but frankly, you guys are wrong.
Sure. And the lawyers would rather hear it from their own side,
right,
first, because these are usually civil cases, which means that at the end it's going to be a matter of negotiating how many millions or billions of dollars,
right,
are going to be. It's pretty rare that somebody goes to jail, although,
right,
you know, there are some cases where a computer failure ultimately leads to people dying, and,
mm-hmm,
that can have criminal consequences. The lawyers would like to know if there's a skeleton in the closet from their own people before it comes up at trial.
Right.
And they'll deal with it as best they can.
Yeah, they use you the way they do mock juries, and to see how a jury would handle a case. They do that if it's that big. So, very interesting. How many of these do you do a year?
Usually one or two a year.
Yeah.
Because the big ones will go on.
Take a lot of your time, don't they?
Yeah.
And you have to do a lot of research in advance, don't you?
Not only in advance, but all through, because,
yeah,
usually these days there are millions of documents that,
yeah,
have to be reviewed.
Very interesting.
All the emails, all the correspondence between everybody.
Yeah,
so
very
interesting.
It's a
big job.
Hey, Ed, thanks again for being here. Thanks for almost 17 great years of support.
My pleasure.
And we'll see you next time. Ed Yordan, ladies and gentlemen, yourdon.com. Check out his website. Quick break. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back.
If you're a business owner, who can you trust to stand shoulder to shoulder with to help your company prosper? Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. I have seen firsthand the role trust plays in team performance. And now you can have your own business performance advisor to help your company reach your goals. For more than 25 years, Insperity has helped thousands of America's best businesses succeed by putting high-performance HR and business solutions to work. Your Insperity Business Performance Advisor starts with the specific needs of your company and tailors a customized solution to unleash your business potential. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, Call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your Insperity Business Performance Advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened before in the history of the marketplace. Hi, this is Jim Blasingame, and I want to tell you about a new age that's emerging right now, the age of the customer. Until recently, you've run your business with 10,000-year-old age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But the original age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that are conveying control from your business to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're going to market with age of the seller practices when your customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make the transition from old practices to new ones that will allow you to meet these new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
Say the neon lights are bright on Broadway.
Welcome back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. Celebrating our 17th anniversary of the Small Business Advocate broadcast. And thank you for being with us as we do this. And one of the people we always want to do it with is our good friend Don Cooper. Don is he's a 98 model. He goes all the way back to actually, we've just had his 16th anniversary with us in last month, and Don is one of the top salesmanship experts on the planet, probably in the galaxy, the president of the Sales Heretic, and he's our good friend, Don Cooper. Welcome back.
Good morning, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
It's good to be here. Congratulations to you on 17 amazing years of podcast
that?
Success.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it very much. And thank you for being an abiding supporter of all the things that we do. We really appreciate you and as a great member of our Brain Trust and helping us understand how to put our best foot forward in the marketplace a little bit better. And one of those things is a little bit contrary to our normal behavior, and that is sometimes customers don't work out.
That is absolutely correct. We hear all the time that the customer's always right. Do whatever it takes to please the customer and bend over backwards for the customer. And there are exceptions to that rule because sometimes the customer is not right. Sometimes the customer is not even worth having. And there are times when you have to actually fire a customer.
Whoa. Them's fighting words, Don.
Yes, they are. And yet, if you talk to almost any business owner, they will tell you they have had at least one customer from hell.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who was never satisfied, somebody who was always complaining. It might be somebody who always pays late or didn't pay at all.
Mm-hmm.
There are all kinds of things.
But they're high maintenance, but they don't perform
yeah.
themselves.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, as a business owner, you only have so much time, so much energy. And your team only has so much time and so much energy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're spending a lot of it dealing with a customer who's not happy and is never going to be happy, that's time and energy you're not spending on your existing good customers, not to mention time that you're not spending going out and finding new good customers.
Right.
So there are times when you've got to say, okay, that's it. We can't do this anymore.
So when you say fire a customer, how do you say do that?
Well, here's an example. My father and I used to run a courier service back in Washington, D.C., and we had a problem customer. He was just never happy no matter what we did. And you know, we provided a great service. We were one of the best in the area. And finally we said to this guy, you know, it seems that whatever we do, you're not happy with us. It would probably be best if you found somebody else to work with.
Right.
And he did. And that didn't last very long. After about a month, he called us back and basically begged to come back.
What you ought to do is go to one of your competitors and say, can I have one of your cards, please?
Yeah.
And then take their card and take it to that customer and say, look, would you contact this guy next time you want our service? We think you might want to go spend some time over there for a while.
Yeah, say to the person, clearly we're not making you happy.
Right.
Clearly we can't meet your needs. Clearly we can't reach the level of satisfaction you're looking for. So here's what we're
going to And as of right now, you're not the kind of customer that helps us be successful.
I don't know if you need to say that necessarily.
Well, I think if you're going to get to that point, I think it's okay to say to customers, you know, John, we only have about 100 customers. We don't have to conquer the world to be successful. And we like to work with customers who like what we do and who actually allow us to be successful. And right now, you're not one of those guys.
I think while you can say that, I don't think it really helps you a whole lot.
Okay.
But it feels so good.
But it feels good, Don.
It can.
I felt good. I felt good just saying it to nobody just now.
Yep, it definitely can. I think it's just easier to let them down and put the focus on how it's not working out. It's kind of like breaking up a relationship. Say, look, it's not working out.
Yeah.
It's probably best for both of us if we go our separate ways.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of leave it at that. Try not to get emotional, because that's what you don't want. You don't want an emotional customer.
I walked into a shop 2 months ago out west. I was out west and walked into this little tiny small business on Main Street out there. And the lady, I walked in, as I always do, I said, how's things going? How's business? She said, business is good except for this one customer from hell. Those are her exact words. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, they're demanding all this special treatment or shipping and blah, blah, blah. And I said, and I just hadn't even thought about it. I just said, you should never have a customer from hell. She said, what do you mean? I said, you should charge them enough so that if they pay it, you want them to come back and be the customer from hell again so that you can charge them again because you love that kind of business. Or they go away and they don't come back because they didn't like what you charged them. And either way you win. But the point I was making is if you do that, you should never have a customer from hell.
Yeah, that's a good option. It's to charge them more and keep raising the price until they decide it's too expensive or it's profitable enough for you to put up with it.
Right.
There are times, though, when a customer is so difficult to work with, no amount of money is worth it.
Mm-hmm.
I dealt with one before. A couple years ago, I had a client that was so difficult for me to work with. They literally made my job harder as a speaker.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to review every bit of my slide. They insisted on changing my slide.
Yeah.
And every part of the process, they kept handcuffing me and telling me what I couldn't do and what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew nothing about presentation skills. They knew nothing about adult.
What did you do?
They knew. I finished the program with them, and then I said, I don't think I'm the right speaker for you from now on.
Mm-hmm.
And I put the onus on me, because I don't want to grab somebody else because on social media. Then
but
they
next
get back
time,
that
next time, try that and say, okay, it's this rate, double your rate. It's this rate. If you have to check everything I do, but it's this rate if you don't.
It wasn't worth it to me.
I know. I can see that. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you just got to move on. You know it in your gut, right? Hold on to that thought, Don. We're going to come right back with Don Cooper. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.